This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Come on over, baby. Whole lot of shaking going on. Yes, I say, come on over, baby. Baby, you can't go wrong. We ain't faking it. Whole lot of shaking going on. Well, I say, come on over, baby. We got chicken in the corner.
A little bit of a whole lot of bit of shaking going on. Is that what you're going to be doing before you sit down for Thanksgiving dinner? Usually when you finish Thanksgiving dinner, you're not shaking. You're kind of, you know, kind of tired. There's something in turkeys. They're supposed to be make you a little bit drowsy, and I can't think of it. Do you remember what it is, that?
Tryptophan.
Thank you, sir. That's right. Tryptophan. Is that true, that it does make you drowsy?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you're right. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. That was Ed Davis, my buddy. We thank you for joining us on Thanksgiving Eve, November 28th. Hey, by the way, have you gotten to where you're going for the big get-together? You already there, or are you staying home? By the way, we'll be talking in a few minutes with Anna Paulina. Now, she is running for U.S. Congress in St. Petersburg here. She hopes to get the Republican nomination to take on Charlie Crist. So stay tuned. Should be an interesting conversation. And as Democrats gnash their teeth over Trump, and boy, oh boy, they must not have any teeth left. All the dislike for that guy on the Democratic side. Anyway, the president was down in Sunrise, Florida last night in a pre-Thanksgiving rally. So we're going to talk with the proprietor of the barber pole on whether or not he, Andrew, the master barber, is going to be talking politics at the dinner table tomorrow.
Obviously, you didn't read the local rag this morning.
I didn't. Why did I miss it?
The way you worded the rally, the rag said Trump throws himself a party in Florida.
I'm not surprised. This newspaper, I could talk for five straight shows on this newspaper's bias. But I'll tell you what, if Trump walked on water, the headline in the Tampa Bay Times would be, Trump refuses to get wet. I mean, that's the way it would be. Anyway, speaking about reporters, a reporter was suspended from his Twitter account for stating what turned out to be the truth about transgenders. So we're going to give you the details on that. I found this rather interesting. And being Thanksgiving and all, our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10 Best Thanksgiving Movies of All Time. We're going to find out if Ed can figure out what was the best number one movie of all time. I think he's got an idea, but we'll find out. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about today. And yes, indeed. So Trump is, I guess he had a packed house down in Sunrise, Florida last night. I just think every time he gets on there, I'm wondering what CNN and MSNBC are doing. Now, Fox will show the rally. They'll actually go from beginning to end, even if it cuts into the programs that are normally there that night. And they'll let you hear Donald Trump. And, of course, when he's there, do you notice there's always a handful of people behind him?
You notice something about a Trump convention, you never see an empty seat.
You do not. He fills it. Now, I guess, I don't know, was he, do you know what stadium he was in down in Sunrise?
I don't know.
That's all right. It looked big. It was in some sort of amphitheater.
Okay.
It looked pretty big. And he claimed to have people standing outside. What I was going to say is he's got people behind him. Mm. And I do wonder if they sprinkle a little bit of everybody in there. Do you know what I mean? They kind of try to take all kinds of groups.
Sure.
I think they do a little bit. They all have signs, and they're all very strong. And as soon as he says something that merits some sort of excitement, they all wave their signs.
The important part is they're there.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, they're very enthusiastic.
You see a Democratic rally, there's 35 people.
True.
And half of that staff.
Who do you think is Ed, as long as you bring that up, of all the candidates you can think of running on the Democratic side, who do you think would have the most people show up if he or she did a rally?
I would think people are still fooled with Biden.
Biden.
Yeah, I would think they're still
Biden
fooled with
Biden. Can't draw flies at a rally.
But then Obama came out on his Twitter and said that Biden doesn't have it.
We're going to talk about that a little later.
That
must hurt him a little bit. It must hurt him. You're right.
I think the Democratic front runners, the whole gang is so watered down, you can't pick one. Which doesn't fare well when you're trying to say that you're going to run the table or whatever. So.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so he says, as we get together for Thanksgiving, he says, you know, some people want to change the name Thanksgiving. I had not known that some people do want to change the name, but apparently there are some. And the reason that they don't like the name Thanksgiving, or that they don't want to celebrate it, is because when we came over, we the Pilgrims, apparently they think that we ultimately did the Indians in. At that time, they were called Indians. We call them Native Americans now, in the sense that they took the land. But the thing is that it's very, I always think about that, and there is some truth to the fact that we probably did encroach upon territory they were living on. But can a handful of people just settle down in large miles and miles of territory and not expect other people to want to also be a part of it? That's one of the things I always thought about. You know, we can share and share alike. And certainly there were some horrible things done to Native Americans, but there were some horrible things done to some of our pioneers that came over as well. So anyway, he talked about that. He wants the name Thanksgiving to remain. And of course, he talks about the fact that remember when we used to have this problem with saying Christmas, as if Christmas was an obscene word? That's kind of gone away. Now, Columbus Day, that's an obscene word, apparently. That's the new in non-holiday, is Columbus Day. I'm not sure Thanksgiving Day ever got to that level.
So, Columbus Day is now the dude that discovered America Day.
Happy dude that discovered America Day, yes, to you now. So we were just talking, Ed, I know you were drinking there, but we were just talking about the fact that Thanksgiving, the term Thanksgiving, is offensive to some people. And indeed, we did have some issues down through the years with the Native Americans. There were good and bad on both sides. Anyway, so he goes on and he has a wonderful, and of course, he always, and I noticed this, he always makes a point pointing at the media. And usually, I guess, the media, he's pointing at the cameras. Mm. And he was pointing at them again and chastising them like nobody's business for all of the fake things that they say about him. He does get that chance to get that off his chest at every rally. He always says, you know, and CNN, and then he'll specify CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC.
I'm not sure CNN was there. They had probably had more important programming like badminton tournament somewhere.
You're right. Yeah, the National Paperclip Tournament.
Paperclip Convention, yeah, something like that.
That's correct. And also the Non-Pilgrims Indigenous Holiday, mm-hmm, which is taking place in somewhere. Well, I see that we are about ready to take our break. And when we come back, Anna Paulina, running for Congress, will join us.
I learned in high school. It's a wonder I can think at all.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Thanksgiving Eve, Wednesday, before the Big Turkey Day on Thursday, and we are delighted to have a lady by the name of Anna Paulina join us. She is running for the Republican nomination for Congress in the 13th District. That's where Charlie Crist resides. And Anna, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hi, thank you for having me on. I'm so glad to be here.
It's our pleasure, Anna. It really is. And I want to give the listeners a little background on you. I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're you have a military background. You're a Mexican-American. Tell us a little bit, first of all, about your background, what you've been doing. And secondly, why have you decided to throw your bonnet, if I may use the term, into the ring for the 13th District?
Yeah, I'm not your traditional, I think, of what people would consider a Republican, traditional congressional candidate. I had a very, very colorful upbringing, to include by the time I had really graduated from high school, not only did I go to six high schools, one of which there was a school shooting on campus. This was in Los Angeles back in the early 2000s, so there was a ton of problems in the local schooling with the gang wars, right? But in addition, I'd been involved. I'd walked into an armed robbery. I survived that. And so, you know, when it came time for me to figure out what I was going to do as an adult, I had this dream of wanting to go to college. I didn't even really know how the process worked for that. And so at 19, I went and talked to a recruiter. I heard this crazy concept that if you joined the military, they would pay for your schooling. And so I went. I enlisted. I didn't tell my parents, and it wasn't until maybe
you didn't
about
tell
two
your
weeks
parents?
Before I was supposed to leave.
Wow!
I did not tell my parents until about 2 weeks before I was supposed to leave, and I said, "Hey, you know, I enlisted." And of course, they freaked out. We don't really have anyone in our immediate family in the military, and my mom herself, you know, raised me herself, a young single mother, and so I left. And then it was really in the military that I was, you know, put into these environments and situations that allowed me to not only grow as a person, but it gave me the stability that I needed to succeed. So, you know, I ended up going to college. I finished my degree at the University of West Florida, and I was stationed all over the United States. And so when it came time for me to really figure out what I was going to be doing, after I got out of the military, I applied to medical school. I got in. Into a medical program, and then about a day before I was supposed to leave to head off to school, I got a phone call from Charlie Kirk from Turning Point USA, and he goes, you know, I've been kind of tracking what you've been doing on your social media. I had amassed around 30 to 40,000 people on my digital media networks, and I know for those who might not be familiar with that, that basically means that I had a really big following on Instagram and on Twitter and Facebook. And at the time, I had been involved with an organization called Veterans for Child Rescue that was a counter-trafficking organization of children at the U.S.-Mexico border. And that is really the organization that kind of opened my eyes up to the propaganda that was being used by the left, by the Democratic Party, in the name of identity politics to really keep Hispanic Americans, of which I am, single-issue voters, and to really control the population as a power flex moving into 2020. And so I started making these videos talking about the trafficking. I started making these videos talking about why legal immigration needed to be done the correct way, because when you don't, people are hurt on both sides. And I was, at that time, probably one of the only more pronounced millennials that was doing that. And so I decided to put school on the side. I realized that I did not want to be practicing medicine in a socialist government. And I say that, I don't say that lightly. That is really a threat that we have to look at moving forward into 2020, that you have people running on platforms literally pushing socialism, literally asking people to turn in their firearms. And so I made the decision that I would, you know, stand and fight for my country, that I remembered my oath of enlistment. And since then, today, I am the most well-known conservative Hispanic activist in the country. I am also the chairwoman of Hispanic Initiative with PragerU, and Dennis Prager will be bringing me and my campaign on in the springtime. But I don't agree with what's happening in this country, and I think that when we don't take a stand against it, that we're just as guilty. So that's why I chose to stay to fight. And God willing, I'll be, you know, your next representative in Pinellas County and Congressional District 13 in 2020.
Wow. Well, first of all, Anna, you are so energetic, and you're a true American. I'm, you know, listening, you're in the military, the things you believe in, you stand up for, you walk the walk. So few people really do all of that. And now you mentioned Charlie Crist contacted you. I think I picked up.
No, Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kurt.
Ah, I'm so sorry. Yeah. I wondered about that.
I was confused, too.
Okay, Charlie Kurt. All right. Now, I don't know who Charlie Kurt is, but...
Charlie Kirk is the founder of Turning Point USA. So
okay.
To date, he is working side-by-side, really, with the administration, and they do outreach. And not to mention, they have some of the largest conservative conferences in the nation every single year. So you get Hannity, Tucker Carlson, Don Jr., even the president that will come to these events. And why this is so important is because right now what we're being told as millennials, as Gen Z, and I know that there might be a lot of people listening to this that have grandkids. So that generation, the younger generation, is being told it's not cool to be conservative, that if you're conservative, you're apparently heartless, that you don't really truly, quote unquote, care about your country, that socialism is the way. So what's happening is you're seeing this pushback really with leaders like myself, like Charlie, like Candace Owens, that are not agreeing with that are not going along with that, and are pretty much fighting fire with fire. And that's so important, because what you're seeing is that you have people in the squad like Ilhan Omar, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. All of these women have been propped up. They've been given massive followings. And those of us that try to speak out, we're silenced. And if we don't speak out, our generation is going to be the one that's going to be going socialist. And we don't want that. So it's organizations like Turning Point, like PragerU, that are all giving us the ammo that we need to lead out this fight. And this really is a fight. If you think this is just another election, you're wrong. You either have a choice in 2020 to vote for freedom, to vote for free markets, for capitalism, for a truly free America, or you have the opportunity to vote for socialism. And that's something that everyone will have to make at the ballot box, that decision.
All right, you are. Anna Paulina is who we are talking to, and she's running for the Republican nomination for Congress. And
if she gets it,
she'll be running up against Charlie Crist. Anna, was there any particular tipping point that got you into politics in terms of running in this particular district? Was there one thing, or did you have it on your mind for a few years and just built into it? Go ahead.
I knew that I would be running for Congress 2 months into me taking the position of Hispanic Outreach at Turning Point USA. About 2 months into that, I had, you know, been going on to the news cycles, onto Fox News, and I realized that how the media works, how the news works, is they talk about what's happening in D.C. And so if I really wanted to change the national conversation, I had to do it at the legislative level. So I knew 2 months into that job, which would be today, probably about, you know, a little bit over a year ago, that I would be running for Congress. And we had such strong ties to Florida. I had been stationed at Hurlburt Field with my husband for 7 years. He's still currently serving. So we went to his unit and we said, look, I'm going to be running for Congress. I'd like to do it in Florida. Is there a way that you can get us back there? Because my husband, again, is still serving in the military. And so his unit was very kind to us and helped us get down here and helped get us the position at MacDill Air Force Base. And so this has been planned and selected for a very long time. But I think what a lot of people don't realize is this is not just another congressional seat. Okay. What Charlie's doing, Chris is essentially bankrolling the DCCC. The DCCC funds people like Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, all of these people that are pushing hard for impeachment get their bankroll check from Charlie. So this is not just any other race. This is probably one of the most important seats. I'm not even just saying that because I'm running here. Even if I wasn't running here, this is one of the most important seats in the nation. And if people don't actively realize that, that's part of the problem. If we really want to flip this seat back to red, which is where it should be, we all need to come out, we all need to get involved, and we all need to spread that message. And so, if I could, real quick, I'm redesigning my website right now for my campaign, but you can find information about me on voteannapaulinaluna.com, and that has all of my information. You can also Google me, you'll be able to find me that way. But there's a lot of stuff that moving forward, we need a one-team-one-fight effort, and so I know it's a little bit of a crowded primary for the Republican ticket, but I'm not even worried about attacking anyone else. I think my main target is Charlie.
Charlie, indeed. Okay. Now, Anna, two things come up. Correct me if I'm wrong. You are Mexican-American, right?
Correct.
Okay. And yet, the border situation where many Mexican-Americans, I guess, those that have come over legally are perhaps the strongest advocates of controlling our border, perhaps. I may be wrong, but I wanted to get...
No, you're correct.
Okay, I wanted to get your sense on that, because it's a very, it's a family-dividing kind of an issue, is it not, about protecting the border?
It absolutely is, but the way that the DNC engineered that is they did it for a reason. They want it to be divided. They know that moving into 2020, that the largest voting minority in the country are Hispanic Americans, and not just any... type of Hispanic, it's specifically Mexican Americans, which is what I am. And I will say this, my family, I'm on my dad's side a second generation American citizen. My grandmother came here legally. She did bring over her brothers, and I do have some family members that did not come here legally. And I can tell you that I've been down to the border three times. I've worked with Border Patrol, I've talked to ICE agents, I've talked to counter trafficking organizations, and it is absolutely irresponsible for American politicians to be encouraging people to come here illegally. When people come here illegally, one, you have the national security aspect of we don't know who's coming through the borders, but two, the hard evidence that we have that's absolutely non-negotiable and something that you can't argue is that you have an aspect of human trafficking. You have children that are smuggled, you have women that are smuggled, and unlike a drug, a human can be used time and time again. That is slavery. And if they don't want to call it that because it doesn't sound pretty to them, well, that's not my problem. My problem is obviously speaking the truth. The truth is the most powerful argument. And that is absolutely something that I'm passionate about. I won't back down from that. And to this day, I think that it was a mistake for people to be reunified with their children at the border, because right now you have one third of children that are coming here that are not biologically related to those that are claiming to be their parents.
One
third? And that, to me, it's one third.
Wow.
And that's a problem.
I would think it would be if one third are in that
capacity. But they won't advertise that. They won't put that out there, because if they do, it pokes holes in the argument. And if you go back to 2016, if you go back to 2015, even before then, you see Clinton, you see Bush, you see Obama, all of these people saying the very same things, the very same policies that President Trump is enforcing at the border. And by the way, family separation was never a policy that this administration had passed. It was done in previous administrations. And the one thing that people don't like to recognize, but I'll say it online because I absolutely can, is that President Obama was the deporter in chief. He deported more illegals. He deported more people than any other president in the United States. And yet all of a sudden it's President Trump that gets a bad rap. This is not about caring for the Hispanic Americans. They don't care about what happens to the children. They don't care about what happens to the women. They care about winning the vote in 2020. They tried and they are failing with the black vote. And so they're going to try and fail with the Hispanic vote, because we're not stupid. We speak English. You don't have to pander to us. And we care about what happens to our people at the borders.
I tell you what, Anna, if energy and knowing where you're going is the criteria, you are going to win big. I want to ask you, finally, you got to win the Republican nomination first. And then you're going to
obviously
be running against Charlie Crist. Now, it's hard enough to beat Charlie. He's been here for a long time, although he's been just about every color of politician you can think of. He's been independent. He's been Republican and Democrat. you got to win that Republican nomination first. Is that going to be tough?
You know, moving forward, the one thing that I can do that a lot of people completely discredit is getting in front of people. I am myself, I'm not pretending to be something that I'm not. I'm not, you know, a big time lobbyist. I don't have any corporate ties to DC. I'm not a huge, you know, attorney. I was never in that circle of what DC would consider their inner working. So a lot of people consider me an outsider, but I'm true to who I am. And I think people see through that. So yes, I'm not going to lie. It's absolutely going to be a tough primary. But if I wasn't in the game of going through tough things, I wouldn't be in politics, really. And so I'm absolutely ready for it. You know, I know that there's probably a lot of people listening right now that are probably going to, you know, go to my website, figure out who I am. I absolutely do need your help getting the word out there, because honestly, if you look at it, everyone that's competing in the Republican primary, the Republicans, I respect them for that. But I'm looking at the long-term goal here. And if the goal is to not only help fight socialism and smash it in D.C., to help stop what's happening with, I mean, this is literally a Marxist takeover. I don't know why people don't call it what it is. But even everything from what they've done in our schools, in our schooling, what they've done to our immigration system. I mean, we need outsiders in D.C. to help fix this. And I recently was able to get a full endorsement from Congressman Matt Gaetz. So he's going to be helping me. And hopefully moving forward, there will be some bigger announcements towards the primary. But all I have to say is that I'm your person. If you want to keep this, if you want to flip the seat red, I'm your person. And I'm not, you know, going to back down from this. This is an all-out fight, and I intend to fight every step of the way.
Terrific, Anna. Give us that website one more time, please.
It's voteannapaulinaluna.com, and it's two N's, so A-N-N-A, and then Paulina Luna. And then also, too, if you go to my Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, you can find me at Real Anna Paulina.
At Real Anna Paulina. Terrific.
Correct.
Anna, thank you so very much. A real delight to have you, and the best to you.
Thank you very much, and we'll talk soon.
All right. There she is, Anna Paulina. Boy, oh boy. She seems to have all of her ducks in a row. She knows where she's going. That's the first sign of somebody I like. You know? Okay, let's take our break. When we come back, we're going to bring the barber pole out, and we're going to talk about whether or not we should be talking politics with the relatives over turkey.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, gobowlingshow.com.
Go Yard! hard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock.
Hey, we're back. Rock, we're gonna rock. And I want to, before bringing on the Master Barber, I want to talk a little bit about what a former congressman by the name of Sean Duffy said about whether or not you should have a conversation with your loved ones and relatives and friends at Thanksgiving about politics. He says, this is everything that's wrong with America. If we can't sit and talk about politics with our family and disagree on politics and Donald Trump versus MSNBC News and do it respectfully and lovingly. So he says, yeah, you should go ahead. You shouldn't be afraid. So Andrew the Master Barber, when you sit down with all of your relatives and friends, are you going to be wearing your Make America Great Again hat?
Well, first of all, I don't invite anybody over that's a Democrat, number one.
So you're not going to have any arguments?
No, they all agree with me.
Okay.
He checks their voter ID at the
you
door.
You check the voter ID at the
door, buddy. Okay. I check it at the door before they come in.
Well,
I'll be honest with you. But yeah, I think politics should be talked at the table, man. You know, that's when I bring out the will and tell my kids this is how they're going to vote. Otherwise, I keep deducting off of the will. So
now,
they know what's going on.
Now, I remember you telling me at one time you were visiting somebody. I don't remember the holiday, if it was one. And they were liberals. And did that go very well when you sat down for a meal with them?
No, I left.
Okay.
Very simple.
Okay. So
why would I put myself through that stress?
That's true. No, that's a good point. So would you recommend to people that have disagreements politically in their family, let's say a large family sitting down, to not talk about politics if you were giving advice as a counselor?
Paul, being of Italian heritage and the families always get together, there's always an argument about something. It don't even have to be about
that's
politics.
True.
But something will come up.
That's true. That's
but,
true.
So if you're going to argue, you may as well argue about politics.
So you might as well bring it up, right?
Of course.
Okay. That's what I wanted to hear. Do you think that in this day and age that Donald Trump, like him or not, is a bit of a divider because of so many people that apparently can't stand him? Do you think he's a divider?
He's not the divider. The Democrats are the dividing. Okay? But he just happens to be the end result.
He doesn't shy away from an argument or a fight, correct?
No, and who would? You shouldn't. You got to stand up for what you believe in. Well, this is America, and if we don't, it's going to fall apart.
We're talking with Andrew the Master Barber. By the way, he's got the best barber shop in Tampa Bay, bar none. I'm telling you.
Hey, Paul, I got to tell you this. Now, you know, I'm part of the Trump Club of Tampa Bay.
Yes, you are.
One of the founding fathers. And George Buck, who's been trying to get the nomination again. Now, he ran against Charlie Crist, you know, in the last election and lost.
George Buck, okay.
George Buck. And, you know, he's got a bunch of credentials and this and that. But I'm going to tell you what, I like George. Don't get me wrong. And I backed him up with Charlie Crist. But this Anna Paulina kind of impressed me.
Yes.
To her on your show. You know, the thing is, listen, we got to beat Charlie Crist. And I want to see the best nominee who I think is going to beat him. And George lost once already.
So,
and like I say, he's my friend, and he's a great person, and he'd be a great politician. But I believe we might need some young blood in there. This girl might have what it takes.
Well, she certainly has what it takes. She seems to know what she's talking about. She hates socialism.
Definitely.
She wants strong borders. I mean, those are two big issues that Charlie Crist cannot duck. As long as he's in the Democratic Party, I don't know what his real feelings are. I don't think anybody does. I think that he's a complete wind checker. Is the wind blowing this way?
Yeah, that's all he is. That's all he is, and he's got to go. But because of his popularity, we've got to run somebody against him. I mean, this girl's heritage could be a plus. She's got it together. She is a female.
Yes.
And she's definitely a speaker. There's no question about it.
She's a wonderful speaker. I was so impressed.
Yeah, and you know how I found out about her, okay? Because I didn't really know who she was. I know there's another one that's running that we definitely have to keep out. Okay, but anyway, mm-hmm. my cousin Sue, who owns a defense company called EEI Corporation up in Largo, and she just won an award 2 years in a row for the Raytheon supplier for the defense mechanisms and everything in the F-35. But anyway, she met with Anna, and she is the one that called me up and says, Andrew, you need to talk to this girl and possibly need to help her out because I'm very impressed. And if my cousin was impressed with her, believe me, she's not impressed too easily.
I was impressed, and just to let the audience know, Andrew suggested Anna Pauline. She said, you got to listen to her. She's a real firecracker, and she is. And I'm particularly impressed with her knowledge, or should I say her wariness of socialism. It's something is seeping into the blood of our people slowly but surely. It's very scary, and she seems to realize what a dangerous threat that is.
Yeah, like I say, I'm impressed with her. I'm going to try and get her some speaking time at the Trump Club of Tampa Bay, which I think I could do at the December meeting. And I know George will be there and he'll welcome her, but this is a tough thing, and I've got to see Charlie Crist beat. Be it George or whatever. But, you know, when you already lost to a guy one time, I hate to have a rematch. I'd like to bring out a new team.
I see what you mean. On another topic, we've got Barack Obama apparently not getting too excited about Joe Biden. Did you know that there is a report that suggests that he does not have faith in Joe?
And Joe don't have it.
Do you think that it's true? Politico reported that Democratic candidates met Obama at his office this year, seeking his advice, and probably, you know, to kiss his pinky ring, on how to win the White House. And so apparently Obama was providing some advice, and he was being candid with them. And basically, he pointed out that he had an intimate bond with the electorate. And that Biden just doesn't have that.
That's right.
You know what
Barack Obama's doing, don't you?
What?
He's setting this all up because his wife is going to enter the race.
You believe that?
Yeah, he's setting it up, I'm telling you.
You think his wife is going to enter the race for 2020 election?
Yep. I think Michelle Obama is going to be there.
I would be shocked, Andrew, but I wouldn't bet you. I lost money betting on politics with you before. But
I think she's going to show up, Paul, because they got nobody, and they might think she's the savior. You know, she got that Obama name. They must think that Obama's got a lot more pull than he really does.
But
people are starting to realize what he was.
If she wanted to run, I would say yes, but I don't see that she has any desire to run. That's just my guess.
See.
Huh?
She's priming things up. She says no, but I'm counting on it.
I see. Wow. Well, we'll have to watch that one. That would be very interesting.
Barack has been thrown. Did you see how he came up the other day and said the Democrats are going way too far? They don't have what it's taking. He already said that last week.
Yeah, he also said that they have to be very careful about jumping into the pool of, I guess what he was referring to was liberal, socialistic big ideas because the people are not ready for it.
Yep, he's setting it up, I'm telling you. But we're going to see.
Wow.
Just keep following it. We're going to see what happens.
Well, indeed. I'm going to first of all tell you I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, Andrew, and everybody will be at your table. We'll be either wearing a Make America Great Again shirt or a hat, I suspect. So don't get any turkey stains on that stuff.
Hey, Paul, you know, what I realized this morning, I thought it was pretty funny. They said, tomorrow the country will celebrate thanks for all that we have, right?
Right.
And be grateful for it. And the next day they'll be killing each other to get a television at a cheap price because they want another one.
Yes. You're right.
Huh?
You're right.
What do you think of that one, huh?
I agree. And this is Thanksgiving is supposed to traditionally mark the first shopping day of Christmas, and they'll all be running out. Those greedy little people trying to get the best deals that they can. And you can't blame them. This is America. That's the way it goes.
That's it, buddy. Well, you have a good holiday, and don't forget to pray for Trump at the dinner table tomorrow.
All right. We certainly
all
will.
All right, buddy. You guys be good.
Thank you, Andrew.
All right. Bye-bye.
The Master Barber. Andrew, all right, let's take our final break. We got a lot more to talk about. there's a reporter that apparently spoke the truth about transgenders, and he got his Twitter account suspended. We'll talk about that and more. Stay tuned.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tan Talk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Come fly with me. Let's fly. Let's fly away.
Oh, we will, Frank. We will. All right. I wanted to talk about something I found kind of interesting. There's a journalist. His name is Andy Ngo, N-G-O. He's been temporarily suspended from Twitter for violating its rules on, quote, hateful conduct. Hateful conduct, okay? Now, it resulted from his reply to Chelsea Clinton's tweet on the Transgender Day of Remembrance. She stated, quote, since 2013, more than 150 trans people have been murdered in the U.S. The majority, black transgender women. She says, we remember and honor the lives lost, hold their loved ones in our hearts, and must commit to doing all we can to end this epidemic of violence and hate. Okay, so that's what Chelsea Clinton, Hillary and Bill's daughter, said. So, Andy Ngo made the following reply on Twitter. He said, the U.S. is one of the safest countries for trans people. The murder rate for trans victims is actually lower than that for cis population, CIS. Also, who is behind the murders? He says, mostly black men. Now, Twitter did not specify what part of Ngo's tweet constituted hateful conduct, but it turns out the statement was entirely factual. Forbes reported that data. It said that 331 transgender people were killed worldwide. Of those murders, 130 in Brazil, 63 in Mexico, 30 in the United States. And of the 30, only one fits the description of a bias-motivated killing. So apparently, Ngo said something that was true.
That's it?
Yeah. They suspended him.
Where's the part that got him suspended?
I know. That's the thing. There doesn't seem to be any specific thing that he said that was hateful speech. And that's what the Twitter did not specify, what part of the tweet constituted hateful conduct. It's very strange. But the fact that he was saying that all of these killings of the 130 in the United States, or excuse me, 30 in the United States. Only one of them had to do anything with bias.
Now,
so that's what got him in trouble, apparently.
Was he suspended because it was He was responding to Chelsea, daughter of ugly Hillary and Bill. Or, I mean, because if you'd have wrote that and he responded with the same thing, would he have still been suspended?
I think it's probably partly that, yeah, that it's Chelsea Clinton. I do. You're right. You know, because Chelsea Clinton's well known. So he's in effect saying, you know, that's not quite accurate. Here's the truth. So now you're offending a Hillary Clinton relative, blah, blah, blah. Yes, I do think that that's part of it. But it's interesting because he didn't say anything. He didn't give opinion. He didn't say it's wrong or it's right to be a transgender. And yet they suspended him. I don't see any reason for it. He said the U.S. is, in fact, one of the safest countries in the world for transgender people, and it's true. Clinton specifically mentioned the majority of trans murder victims in America are black transgender males, and it's true. Of the known murders of transgenders between 2015 and 2019, 67% were black. But the point Nagel was making is it's also factually true that 92% of the known killers of these victims were black. So it sounds to me like it was more of a rivalry or a family dispute or a neighborhood crime, you know, and they're trying to assign a hate crime to it.
Sure.
And that's what his point is. It's really kind of, it's too bad that we can't, you know, we can't just discuss objective things about it without you know, people taking offense and wanting to shut down your opinion if you don't agree with them. I mean, it goes back to the whole discussion with Trump.
Twitter is a little more policed than Facebook, let's say. So I can see it because I know a few people that have been banned from Twitter.
Do you?
Yeah. Because I know you can't use abusive language, but...
But he wasn't doing that.
Well, I'm just saying I've
yeah.
You know, I know people that have been banned from Twitter because they've... Yet there are bonehead athletes who come out and say some really stupid things, and they're not knocked off.
Yeah.
You know?
Sometimes it depends on who you are, correct? I mean, Chelsea Clinton got away with saying those things and taking a side because of who she was, and maybe also because of the issue. I don't know the politics of Twitter people.
Colin Kaepernick, when he did his workout, when he posted it on Twitter that he was wearing a Kunta Kinte shirt...
No, I didn't.
Claiming that the owners were slaves, slave owners.
Yeah, Kunta Kinte, that was the Remember character the roots? In Roots.
Yeah, yeah.
Indeed, I do.
It said Kunta Kinte on it.
Wow.
But that's all right.
I wonder if he's going to be speaking about Colin Kaepernick. Do you think anything's going to pick him up?
No, that's done.
It's done?
And people I've talked to, that's done. He didn't want to come back.
You don't think he did?
He didn't want to. He doesn't want to work for money. He wanted to. He just wanted the impression people to get... The impression that he wanted back to keep the pot stirred. He didn't.
But what do you think is his ultimate goal? Is it for
because you never heard anybody talk about money? Never heard talking about anybody about money. He's turned down $4 million a year. So he never.
What do
got
you think his
point.
Reasoning is? Is it just to promote his social beliefs, or is it for his furtherance of his career?
To stay in the air is what he wants to stay in the air. People thinking about it, not forgetting who he is. That's all it is.
I see.
He's a media whore. That's it.
Yeah. Very interesting, Ed. Really is.
Sorry we got off topic.
But that's all right. That's okay. Listen, we're going to get back on topic right now because it is time for our top 10. And we have a very good one. We did a lot of research on this one. We went to Rotten Tomatoes, Ed. That's where we went. Ed's getting on the drums while I'm talking.
No, there are no drums today.
Oh, that's right.
We have...
You know, here... I don't tell anybody. I know what it is, but you're opening the coop. That's what you're doing right now. That's what he's doing. And this is Rotten Tomatoes, the top 10 best Thanksgiving movies ever. Ed, when we get to number one, I'm going to ask you, because I think you might know what it is. You ready? Here we go. Number 10. Number 10 is Addams Family Values. You ever hear that one, Ed? It starred Raul Julia, Angelica.
Oh, Addams Family, yeah.
Addams Family Values.
What the heck does that have to do with Thanksgiving?
Because apparently it revolved around a Thanksgiving dinner at some point. It was made in 1993, And you remember when Raul Julia and Angelica Houston played them? I remember the television show.
Yeah. Years they made two movies back. And then he passed away.
Yes, Raul Julia did pass away. You are correct, sir. Number nine.
Oh.
The turkey's got out of the coop and now we can't get him back. Oh, you got it. You know what Ed's doing? He's grabbing the turkey by the neck. I think that's turkey.
No, tail.
Turkey abuse is
going.
You got
to goose him a little.
Okay, number nine is Tadpole. Now, I don't know. I've never heard of the movie, but it was made in 2002, starring Aaron Stanford, Sigourney Weaver, and John Ritter. I've heard of Sigourney Weaver and John Ritter. Mm-hmm. It got a 78% on Rotten Tomatoes, and apparently it has to do with Thanksgiving. I don't know anything about it. All right. Number eight. Number eight is Avalon. You ever heard of that one? It was made in 1990, and it starred Armin Mueller-Stahl, Leo Fuchs, and Lou Jacoby.
No.
Okay, got an 83% on Twitter. Number seven. I wonder how many turkeys that is. Is that more than one?
That's just one. That's him.
Wow. Yeah. That's a busy turkey mouth. Number seven is The Ice Storm. It was made in 1997. Kevin Kline, who I always found pretty funny. Sigourney Weaver again. Wow. And John Allen got an 85% on Rotten Tomatoes. Number six, Pieces of April, 2003. Katie Holmes, you remember her? Mm-hmm. Patricia Clarkson and Oliver Platt got an 84%. Number five, I saw this movie, and there was a Thanksgiving scene in it. Very interesting one. Scent of a Woman, 1992. You remember that movie with Al Pacino?
I remember, but I've never seen it.
He was blind, and Chris O'Donnell was hired by him to lead him around. A very good movie. Number four, Hannah and Her Sisters. It revolved around a Thanksgiving weekend. It starred Woody Allen, Mia Farrow, and Barbara Hershey in 1986. Got 91%. Number three, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh, that was my one.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was the Thanksgiving dinner.
It was all about Thanksgiving.
Yes, it was. But it's not number one. It starred John Candy, Steve Martin, and William Wyndham in 1987. All right. Number two. You're so depressed now, Ed. I feel bad for you. Number two is Krisha, K-R-I-S-H-A. It starred Krisha Fairchild, Olivia Grace Applegate, and Trey Edward Schultz. And it had to do with people coming to a Thanksgiving dinner that had not been invited and the way that people finally gradually accept them. Okay. All right, Ed, I know.
I'm out. I was hoping for that one.
Think about it. It's a cartoon. I'll give you a big, big hint.
Oh, okay. Let's say Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
So you're thinking it's a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. All right. Roll the turkey. Now, that's more than one, but you are right. Number one was the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, 1973. It's the voices of Todd Barbee and Stephen Shea. I guess, after Charlie Brown, Lucy is kind of, so you always remember those voices, those little kids.
Only like 30 minutes, though, isn't it? Well, maybe it's an hour.
I think it's more. No, it's more than 30 minutes.
Well, it's like 40.
But you're right about one thing. It was a TV movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't one of those.
I mean, you always watch. In fact, that's on tonight.
Is it on tonight?
Yes, it is. It's always on the day before Thanksgiving.
Oh, good. I got to look for it.
And anything after 12:01 tonight is nothing but Christmas. So that's it.
That's true.
Everything.
We're all going to be getting ready to go out shopping.
Did you see Kohl's is starting their... Why are they calling it Black Friday? They're starting at 5 o'clock on Thursday. Well, it means people are going to show up with turkey legs hanging out the side of their mouth.
You are right. It's going to be... Well, listen, everybody. We're going to wish you a wonderful Thanksgiving. Stay tuned for the Craft Beer Hour because Kenny and Bill are going to talk to you about how to carve a turkey and drink at the same time. In the meantime... Always remember, freedom works. Yeah.